B-Pod Studios. Sci-fi.
Whoa.
Anime.
Whoa.
Video games.
Whoa.
Comic books.
Whoa.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
This is Nerd Radio.
Excellent.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRAF.com, wherever you're getting your podcast as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And of course, on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. I'm your host, Chuck Bean, joined by your co-host, James.
Hello.
Who is here even though you are on vacation.
I'm here. I'm on vacation. I'm a dedicated podcaster. Is that what the title would be? Yeah, well, actually, the big dogs brought me in to do some extra work on my vacation. So,
oh, nice.
Nerd Radio lucked out.
You getting some overtime on that?
I'm getting a little OT, vacation OT time. So,
for sure. So, Al Beck is on vacation, but he'll be back next week. And me and you wanted to sit down and at least do one segment of Nerd Radio.
Yeah, why not? I'm still here, in the building. I'm only a little drive away. Yeah, less of a drive than Al. So,
right, for sure. What have you been doing with your vacay so far? Nothing.
Nothing.
No video
nothing
games?
Really.
No. Nothing?
I've been playing a little bit of Realm Royale.
I'm
still back in the realm. They just got their new Battle Pass.
Okay.
I don't know the official. I watch all the nerds stream and they're like, "This is the OB20 patch .11." I'm like, oh, just call it the new Battle Pass. Just call it the new Battle Pass. That's all it is.
Is the Battle Pass essentially just a patch to, you know, equalize some things out?
It just means they have new updates. So since the last update, they have the new updates, and then they give you 50 new levels to like play through with new things to unlock.
Okay.
Like new skins. Like, so now the theme is like good versus evil, the eternal conflict, I think is what they're calling it. So you can unlock some skins for your characters, look like demons or it's a lot of like good versus evil type stuff. So like,
sure.
There's like an angelic like sword marker that you can use on the map. So when you want to plot out your next destination, you can use this giant sword if you unlock it. Or the one I'm gaming for is like, it looks like ghosts.
Oh,
there's
nice.
Like a portal to hell with like some ghosts coming out.
I was telling you last week about the Rocket League has like the 80s thing going
on. Yeah, the Ghostbusters stuff. Yeah.
You get the Ghostbusters. One of the things is when you turbo boost your car, the effect behind it is just slime.
Oh,
I want that
I
so
love
bad.
It. I love it.
So bad.
Is that like an unlockable thing? Or
yes.
Is that we want some
yeah,
cash?
You have to, if you want the Ghostbusters car, that's about $2 or $3.
Okay. But well, that's not bad though.
It
a couple
really
bucks
isn't.
Isn't bad. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what gets me is when you have to drop, like, $25 to buy a bundle or something like that.
Sure.
So, like, I ride around the realm on a unicorn.
Okay.
And one of my faithful Twitch followers donated the money to
excellent.
Get a unicorn. But unfortunately, I couldn't buy the unicorn, just a unicorn.
You had to get a whole.
I had to buy a whole bundle with Princess Fairy Dust and, well, that way I call him Edible James. So, in the game, before you completely die and you're out, you turn into a chicken.
Okay,
so now I turn into a gummy chicken that I call Edible James. but then I ride around on a unicorn, so I get it.
If only you could put an effect in there that gets people real high.
Oh, yeah. As soon as they turn me into a little chicken, James shows up, and all of a sudden everybody's having, like, psychoactive trips or something. Like, I can't see him. Oh, I feel so good, though.
Were you a big video store renter back
in
the day?
I was for a while. Like, back in, out of high school into college, because most of my college career is more, it's more dedicated towards video production and film production.
Yeah.
So I was in the movies, but it's usually like Kevin Smith, Quentin Tarantino.
Well, I asked because, about a month ago, the, Family Video, it was like right down the street from me, closed down.
Did they?
And,
they liquidate all their porn?
I don't know.
For being a Family Video, they have an extensive porn collection.
That's
over
true.
There.
That back room was
They
was
have an
crazy.
Extensive collection of porn, and the one by me has nothing but CBD items now.
I noticed that. Yeah, they're all heavy into the CBD stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, there were three Family Videos near me, and the farthest one is the one that stayed open, and the other two closed down.
Of course.
And the people at the Family Video were telling me that apparently they're owned by the same company as Dollar General.
Really?
So all the Family Videos that closed are now Dollar Generals.
Oh, what a horrible trade.
Which is insane, because it's one of those things where, like, the building is still a Family Video building.
Uh-huh.
You just redid the inside.
Okay.
Which is always a weird phenomenon.
They still have, like, the return, the outdoor return.
It's, yeah,
like,
it's still
on
the
door.
What am I
returning to the Family Dollar? I want to return here this old candy I just bought. Let me return that. I want $3 back.
When I was growing up, when I was in like high school, we had a Taco Bell that went out of business and then turned into a Subway.
But you could still tell it was a Taco Bell.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
We're going to Taco Way.
You changed the wallpaper and the setup inside, yeah. But like this was the Taco Bell.
Instead of burritos and nachos dancing around the walls, you just either have like old school New York subway print.
It was the New York subway,
or pictures of submarine sandwiches that you cannot get at Subway. Like they have these weird, crazy, like long, classic looking like Subway subs that you would only find on like a stock image site.
Yeah, it's a Shutterstock like, Subway.
Yeah, I'm on your Subway. Like, I want to see your artist paint me up a sandwich that looks as good as the one on the wall. I still love your sandwiches.
As much as I hate it when someplace like, you know, a video store or a record store closes or something like that, they always have those big deals. They blow out stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up getting a couple of video games for like stupid cheap. I got the House of the Dead Overkill for the Nintendo Wii.
Nice.
Which is a House of the Dead that was made specifically for the Wii. Okay. That was like, it was like an R-rated House of the Dead.
R-rated.
There was a handful of games for the Wii that were strictly adult games, and all of them usually go for a lot of money because
the Wii was so rare. Yeah, the Wii's all like, for kids. I'm not saying it's totally kids, but it's more family-friendly gaming. It's never like the stuff you see on the PS4 where there's curse words and sometimes an occasional nipple slip and
stuff like that. Yeah, no, this game is rated mature.
That's crazy.
And like right from the get-go, like there's a stripper with, you know,
hello,
old Nintendo Wii graphics, something like that. It's very Duke Nukem.
Hey, still usable. Still usable. Just like the Duke Nukem babe, still usable. Back then, perfectly usable. Now as an adult, maybe it's frowned upon a little bit more, but it's still usable if you're desperate.
Right. Nowadays, you look for something a little bit more realistic.
Like high def.
Yeah, for sure. HD strippers is what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And strippers that cater to my sexual needs more so than just... gyrating.
Did you try out the Duke Nukem, the last one they made?
That was awful. Was it bad?
It makes me sad
because I love how much of a smartass Duke Nukem is. Like, I love the dialogue. The one-liners they put in there. Usually they're ripping them off from old 80s movies.
Yeah, like Army of Darkness.
But for the longest time, I didn't realize when I would drop Duke Nukem lines, I'm just quoting like Bruce Campbell from different movies.
Yep.
I was like, they stole that from Duke Nukem!
Nope.
And then my buddy's like, no, actually, Duke Nukem, they stole all that crap. I'm like, oh. Well,
I got to talk to the guy who's Duke Nukem, the voice actor. A couple of years ago, he was at UMACon. I think it was UMACon. Yeah, and I got to sit down and talk with him for 5 minutes. Great guy. That's awesome.
Super cool dude. You got to get people to do like drops for the podcast.
Yeah, there's a. In fact, I'll play it at the front of the next segment. We've got this is Duke Nukem.
Awesome. Yeah, man, that's something we should keep top of mind.
Yeah,
because like, I know that I have opportunities to meet different voice actors and stuff, cons and stuff like the Astronomicon and things like that.
Yeah, just get them to say you're listening. I'm never like,
yeah, I'm like, that's all we need you to say. Yep. How much is that? $2? $3? Come on.
$20 to get you
a drink. Here's a Gatorade.
Well, the last time I tried to get somebody to do one of those, it was Jim Ross, that one con.
Oh, did you?
He didn't give me a Nerd Radio drop, but Amy was taking pictures while I would, and apparently it was money to get a picture with him.
Uh-huh.
And I've got this picture where I'm talking to him and he is looking dead at the camera like,
give me that money.
F are you doing?
Yeah. I was like, bitch, better have my money.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Well, you better buy some barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I'm sure that would smooth things over nicely.
Yeah. Did you buy any of the barbecue sauce, and how was it?
I did not.
No, okay.
I did not. I've heard it's great, though. I had a friend that made sure to buy it.
I've heard nothing but good things about Jim Ross's barbecue sauce.
Called Jim Ross's barbecue sauce? There's some alliteration in there.
Yeah, that's how you sell it.
That would have been absolutely perfect.
It's probably more like by God, delicious barbecue sauce.
But it's funny because I just added to the stack. Like I said, I got the House of the Dead game. I got the last Transformers game that they made that was like based on the old cartoon.
Oh,
so it's all kind of cell shaded and looks crazy.
And it's like brand new.
Yeah,
essentially,
you know, it's a rental.
Well, I guess it was a rental. Yeah. So
But you know, they clean the disc and everything. Yeah. So it's, you know, it looks cool. But
we're talking about Family Video.
It just added to the stack of old games. That
maybe you'll get around to. At least
Xbox
you didn't pay
360,
full price.
Wii games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you get them is because you're like, wow, this is like less than $10.
What's sad for me is I'll buy a game like to review for Casual Gamer, or I used to do video game reviews with Chuck the Freak.
Yeah.
So we'd go out and buy these games. We play it just to get enough to talk about the game and form an opinion on it. And then it just gets right in the pile.
Chuck it into the pile.
$60. Nothing but net, baby. Slam dunk.
Do you ever go through this thing? I do it all the time. Amy was just commenting on it because I've been playing the second Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, you're getting hyped up for the next one, right?
For the third one,
it's coming
out
in a couple weeks.
It is, yeah. I think it's the second week of July, so we're only a couple of weeks away from it. But I played through it all the way and enjoyed it, and it wasn't too difficult, so I started it almost immediately over on like the hard difficulty.
Yeah.
And she was like, I have never seen somebody beat a game and then immediately go back to play the game again.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I never did that, but my old roommate, that's what he would do. He would start on easy.
Yeah.
And play through the game, and then he'd go, you know, as the levels would increase, he'd just keep going through and playing it. And I didn't realize that, because he would trash talk me so bad. Whatever first Call of Duty, it had the zombie mode in it.
Yeah.
In order to unlock the zombie mode, you had to beat the game. You just had to make it through the entire game. Now you could play zombie mode. So my friend's sitting there waiting for me to beat this game for weeks. He's harping on me about how much I'm a suck, how horrible I am. I can't get the zombie mode unlocked. So I finally beat the game on regular. I always play through regular. I start at regular. If I have a lot of fun playing it, I'll try it on a harder level. But otherwise, I'll just play through the normal difficulty.
Right.
The way the video game gods intended you to play. Not like some crazy, psychopathic, obsessed gamer.
Right.
So I finally beat the game. And then we're playing Nazi zombies. And I'm asking him, like, how did you get through so fast or whatever? He's like, oh, I was playing on easy.
Yeah.
I was so pissed. Like, if I could Twitch back then or I could record that,
right.
I just annihilated him. I just lit his ass up for 45 minutes about him playing through Call of Duty on easy.
I'm sure part of it is him giving you a bunch of crap about taking so long to get through it.
Yeah, well, I'm super upset. I'm like, you didn't tell me you played through on easy. I'm assuming you're a normal person. You play on the normal difficulty. You don't go and start like a little baby. You're calling, you're making all sorts of names he's calling me.
Right. No, I always try a game out on like the easier difficulty level, and if I like it, then sure, I'll try it on the harder one, which is essentially what happened with Ultimate Alliance. But the reason I bring it up is because as gamers, we all have that stack of games.
Oh,
it's
like,
you know, that goes back one or two generations worth of systems that you're still sitting on or something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself sometimes when you're playing a modern game and you're like not enjoying it, like Fallout 76? Just essentially going like, I'm gonna pull this game out of the stack and try this out instead. This has to be better than what I'm playing right now.
It crosses my mind from time to time, but I don't actually pull the trigger on it just because some of the games I'm like, there's probably nobody else playing, because a lot of the games are only online. And if you do end up getting online, there's maybe only one or two other people. So it's never as much fun as what it was in its prime. Now, if it's a game where it's just like story mode, like it's all campaign based, I'd be more willing to put that in and play through something like that.
Yeah, most of my backlog is games like
like campaign type stuff.
Yeah.
See, all mine, ever since I could play online and call kids names and they could call me names back.
That's where you go.
I'm sold. You know, it's like a mutual disrespect for one another.
Right.
I love it. Just getting online, calling them names, even if they're better than me at the game, I don't care. I'll still call them a name.
Yeah, because I'm sitting on like the Deadpool game,
okay,
or the Wolverine's Origins game, because that game's cool because it's full of blood.
Oh, nice.
Wolverine slashes dudes in half and stuff like that, and like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game, that kind of stuff, Ninja Turtles kind of stuff, which leads to something I'll tell you about in a minute here. What was the other? There was something else that I thought of while you were talking, and I'm like, I gotta ask him this, and it's right out of my brain.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
Not important. So what I wanted to, what I found here, like minutes before we sat down here, there's a dude online called Mariso X who has put together this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles remake.
Okay.
Originally, I guess from what I was reading, it was supposed to be a Super Nintendo styled remake of the third game on the NES.
So the third one,
the Manhattan,
Project,
the Manhattan Project or whatever like that.
Man,
so
I don't think I played that one very much.
Yeah, he was like, "Well, I'm going to make one that looks like it's on the Super Nintendo," but it's and he's done a bunch of these. He did like Super Karate Kid, where he took the Karate Kid NES game and kind of upscaled it to Super Nintendo graphics.
Oh man, if that's the game I'm thinking of, that was a horrible game.
It was a bad game. It was super bad game. But this kind of exploded out of control because now it's its own thing. And it's this amazing homage to the Ninja Turtles franchise of the 80s. It's got 60 playable characters.
Really? Wow.
60 of these. It's got 17 stages, 4 bonus stages, 4-player local co-op. It's only on the PC. So you got to do it on the PC. But let me pull up this video so you can see it, because I was blown away when I saw it.
Is it 60 playable characters? I can't even probably name 60 people from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle
Frog,
universe.
Genghis Frog, Ace Duck, Usagi Yojimbo, they're all in here. So yeah,
Ace
check
Jones, Splinter,
check this out.
Bebop Rocksteady.
Because it looks hilarious.
I like the animation
fun.
Already. Okay, so now they're showing you like, is this all gameplay from?
Yeah. So it looks like, you know, it's that side-scrolling.
Oh yeah, this is just like the arcade game meets
two and a half D beat-
the
yeah,
one
the
that I can never
game.
Beat that you
yeah.
beat. It's got a nice 90s theme background going on, too.
Yeah, but yeah, they show that you can play as April. I guess Casey Jones is in it.
Oh, this looks fantastic.
Doesn't it?
Oh, my God.
There's even a level with the Technodrome that looks like it was pulled straight out of the first one on the Nintendo.
Yeah, I think I saw that clip.
But they've
just
got
seeing,
four turtles jumping around beating it up.
You got the giant, whatchamacallit, why can't I think of Krang's body?
Yeah, the big robot body.
Yeah. And this is playable on PC, huh?
Yeah.
I might have to look into actually playing this.
I know. As soon as I saw it, I was like, I got to download this. I got to see what this, how this works out. If I can hook a Xbox controller to my PC and play this, woo-hee!
Wow, that's awesome.
What a great time that's going to be.
That would be a blast. That'd be a fun game to stream, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Touch on to the nostalgia.
It looks like he's done a Power Rangers game as well.
So this guy just takes other games and makes them playable on PC. Wow, I feel like he's dancing on some legality lines.
Oh,
there.
I'm sure. That's why I wanted to mention it, because like,
it gets pulled down.
Go get this before somebody decides that you're not allowed to have this anymore. Yeah, but looking at the screenshots, there's a bunch of like the Genghis Frog and Attila the Frog are all in here.
I wonder if the Konami code works on it too.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because that was the best code to use on the Ninja Turtles arcade game, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I can't wait to download this and check it out. He's done a Thundercats game. He's done a Power Rangers game. It's crazy.
That's nice.
Go to his website, merso-x.com, merso-x.com, because that looks like a bunch of fun. I'll have to let you know about it.
Yeah, let me know how it goes.
Once I download it and check it out. But let's get moving. We've got Mike Pandoff's coming in next.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some Game of Thrones because he's the only person we know who's super into, well, Anne was super into Game of Thrones, but he's the only person who frequents the show that was super into Game of Thrones. So we'll talk about the Game of Thrones finale, and then we're going to have Kyle back in and talk some video
games. Kylezilla.
Kylezilla is coming back. So Nerd Radio returns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The name's Newcomb, Duke Newcomb. You know I've got balls of steel. I wouldn't be saying that unless I was here on Nerd Radio, because they've got balls of steel too. Hail to the Nerd Radio, baby.
It's another week in Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, but especially on WRIF.com. That's where I suggest you get your podcast. My name is Chuck Bean, the host of Nerd Radio, and this week joined by Mike Pandoff. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thank you, Chuck. Team B representing.
Yeah, this B team. Go, B go, team. Go. So I wanted to have you back in the last couple of weeks, actually. We didn't make it happen a couple of weeks ago, but specifically because the last time we had you on, you were talking all about Game of Thrones. You are the one person in Nerd Radio who was still into Game of Thrones. Now that it's over, what did you think?
I actually been talking about it with people. It was kind of like unsatisfying, but like I've seen way worse. Like it kind of sucked to a certain degree because Benioff and Weiss, knowing that they're going off to do Star Wars, I feel like, and then also HBO said they would have gave him more time, more money to, like, make more episodes.
Okay.
You can definitely feel it after, especially after I came in, they kind of rushed the last three. Like, you just, like, boom, boom, boom.
It really felt like week after week after week into this last season that Game of Thrones fans, at least on social media, were more and more displeased with where it was headed.
The build-up for the first three was awesome. Like, I was listening back to when I was on my way over here tonight to gather my thoughts.
Sure.
And like, wow, I was really, really hyper, and I was like, overselling this.
Super...
They should have been paying me to sell their product at that point.
You were super excited about it.
But it just sucked because, you know, there's no more Game of Thrones, so like, the thing was, though, they didn't have any books. So they got kind of like PowerPoints from what I've read. George R. R. Martin was telling them where certain characters were going, especially who ends up sitting on the throne.
Right.
It's been out for a month, and if you didn't watch it, maybe, you'll catch up eventually.
Sure.
The guy who ended up on the throne, Bran, people had a big issue with, but, like, if you watch the show completely, he is kind of like that protagonist that he's just not in the action, but he is kind of like the main protagonist throughout the show. Mm-hmm. To a certain degree. But Jon Snow love. It's so weird. I think you should check it out. My one roommate who does filmmaking, their making of show, like the behind the scenes about what goes into making Game of Thrones is fascinating. It's like an hour and a half documentary about the last season.
Well, once again, according to social media, apparently what goes into making Game of Thrones is leaving coffee cups in the middle of shots. Plastic water bottles.
I can't believe they miss stupid stuff like that. Like, it's kind of weird to me. Like a script read is there, right? The guy who's telling everyone where to be in place and what their lines are if they need them. You think he would notice that, like, sitting in the chair, just like me and you right now, looking at Amelia Clark? Yes, she is beautiful, so I could see how that's distracting, but, like, come on.
It is absolutely one of those things that how many people are on set and nobody thought to go, like, hey, wait.
Right. But the only, I guess, real disappointing thing I really had with it, like, it was a cool moment when it first happened, was I'm sure you saw the gif of Arya jumping out of nowhere and stabbing the king.
For
like,
sure.
That was awesome to watch live, because you were like, yes, because, like, you thought everyone was going to die.
Right.
I wish that night battle would have gone, like, two nights. Like, the first night, they held them back barely, and then the second night, you know, it's kind of like the old Rocky thing, like, are they going to get up, or are they going to keep getting knocked down? And, but the thing that sucked, yeah. Now I'm thinking about it, I'm getting mad.
I'm imagining you going to, like, the army of, what is it, Winterfell or whatever like that, and being like, can you guys stretch this out for one more night?
Well, like, I just want to see Jon Snow, like, fight, like, you see him kill a bunch of minions, right? But
right.
You don't see him take out any lieutenants. Like, the lieutenants are sitting there, but, like, I want to see Jon Snow or any of these cool-ass fighters that you've been telling us are cool-ass fighters
right.
go up against something that is out of their realm, and that was a missed opportunity, in my opinion. That's like seeing Cylons in Battlestar Galactica not shoot a gun at a human. Like,
right.
Okay,
now, I saw that there were plenty of people who were not real pleased with the characterization of Daenerys in the last season.
Well, like, the thing was, though, is that her whole thing is that I'm going to rule. This is my kingdom. This is my land. And then Jon being a higher birthright, technically, than her whole, like, that's her existence. Like, without that claim, what is she?
Right, she's gone through so much over the subsequent seasons of Game of Thrones to get to where she is, to have that taken out from under her.
And everything, she tried playing their game, and, you know, it wasn't working, and she's a conqueror. Like, she is, not Conan, well, maybe Conan, but, oh, crap. I wish I was here. Genghis Khan. She was pretty much Genghis Khan and Alexander the Great. She was conquering, moving on. But her whole issue, until Tyrion showed up, was that she didn't know how to rule. She didn't know how to get the people to love her, really, except for with blood and fire.
Right.
So when she lost her crap after her best friend gets her head chopped off in front of her, it was really cool seeing Drogon, like, to see what a dragon could do. Like, you got this army of 30,000 guys in front of this wall, right?
Right.
And one dragon just comes up and just sweeps them up like they're dominoes. And that's what she should have done from the beginning. And, yeah, they're going a little crazy, like they always say in the show, a Targaryen, because they're incest bloodline for generations. Flip a coin, you either got them crazy or they're not. And I think her coin, it was her finally being crazy.
Right. So now that, how many seasons were there, Game of Thrones?
Eight.
Okay, so now that it's over, it's eight seasons, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
First of all, obviously, as you were saying a couple of minutes ago, you're not real pleased with how it wrapped up. But overall, are you still a Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah.
You still,
I'm excited for
you
the
You still
prequels.
Appreciate the journey? And that was my next question. Okay. Were they to decide to do more stuff with Game of Thrones, are you going to come back?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of more. Just like, you know, Lord of the Rings, I'm sure. Like, yeah, The Hobbit. There's so much I want to know about that led up to this moment of, like, 50 years. Because... the whole reason why Game of Thrones is the way it is because a guy fell in love with a girl. Girl didn't love him, so they started a war. That's pretty much what it went. And it was really cool on showing you that victors make the history the way they want. So
sure.
But there's Robert's Rebellion, the thing that started all of this. They got a prequel series going right now that's all about, it's like thousands of years before where it was supposed to be. And it's going to show you how the protagonist of the White Walker, or antagonist of the White Walkers, how they really came to be.
Okay.
Because a lot of people were upset, too, that they didn't explain. Like, there's this one symbol, or these symbols that kept showing up, and it's kind of like them taunting, but nobody knew what they meant. Like, they don't even say, like, in the books, from what Anne's told me and from what I've read, not a whole lot's been discussed about where the Night King and the White Walkers come from.
Sure.
So I think there's hope. but also I just don't want him to, maybe this will segue into our other thing. I don't want him to make like Capricorn 1, or I don't know if you ever watched the prequel series, the Battlestar Galactica.
No.
It was called Caprica. It showed you how the AI, it was very full of itself.
Okay, I kind of remember that.
Yeah, it was like a one shot.
I was going to say, it didn't last very long.
No, so as long as they don't do that, you know, take your time with it, don't Disney it with Star Wars.
I still have this this thing with if there's a show that even looks remotely interesting, like the minute I know it's on the Sci-Fi Channel, my interest nosedives.
See, I'm surprised you haven't watched Krypton. I hear good things about it.
For one thing, not a Superman fan.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And for another thing, it's one of those things where I see the commercials for it. I'm like, well, I'm not a Superman fan, but that looks like a pretty good show. Oh, it's Tuesdays on Sci-Fi. Yeah, I don't care anymore.
Hey. Thank Sci-Fi, because Jason Momoa's one of his first roles was on Stargate Atlantis.
It was,
and he was practically playing Aquaman, so it was cool.
No, there's plenty of stuff, and there's plenty of stuff that's good on Sci-Fi. It's just like I said, like Happy was pretty cool. I really liked, what was it, a couple of it wasn't Death Race, but with the car that they were killing people for. Like I watched half a dozen of those and thought they were pretty all right, but it's something about like seeing it, it's like, oh, it's on Sci-Fi, well, and it's gonna be kind of B-movie garbage, so I don't think I'm here for it.
Stop hating on my childhood.
I'm sorry. But so it sounds like Game of Thrones, even though it wrapped up kind of and it seems like that happens a lot with television shows.
Yeah,
you get that kind of, you know, like you get so hyped for it that the hype becomes impossible to live up to.
Oh, you can say that about, like I said, fan theory bullshit starts going on, and I think that kind of hurts, especially when there's like a year and a half to 2 year hiatus, so we all start coming up with our own theories about how we want it to go.
Right.
It's the same thing. So I think that actually played a big factor in it, because you had fan build up in their heads like, oh, I hope this character does this. And then, you know, they find 20,000 people who agree with him on a subreddit.
Right.
So now they think that's going to be the way it goes because, oh, I read this script out. Like, I think that does have a factor in some way.
But at the same time, that's a big part of watching a lot of television shows. Even you know, normal passe television shows, something, you know, back in the 80s, like Dallas or something like that. Like, a big part of it is trying to guess, like, what are these characters going to do next? Or, you know, where's the story going to go?
Oh, yeah, water cooler talk. And now water cooler is on the internet.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the internet is both a blessing and a curse, in that you can find a whole bunch of people that are into the same thing you are. But sometimes those people are not the kind of people you want to be associating with.
No, so no, you do not.
And it kind of ruins your joy of the thing that, you know, you like in the first place.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of that, like, do you have any finales that you've, like, you were so happy about, and then, like, you were going into a show, you're like, sweet, it's going to go this way.
Right.
And it kind of let you down?
Yeah, well, for me, the big one I clearly remember was Lost. Everybody was very upset with how Lost wrapped up.
I feel like Lost and Game of Thrones will have that connection. I feel like we all seem to like love the journey, but the ending, we're just like, they didn't stick it.
Yeah, well, and I think that was the big thing with Lost, is that they were so good at making questions that made you think and made you come up with, like, you know, leaving you a little bread trail of clues that made you think of where this could possibly be going, that when they finally painted themselves in the corner and had to come up with where actually are we going, the answer was never going to live up to everyone's expectation.
And it's crazy because the creator of that show did what he wanted to do with Lost. He did it where they didn't explain anything, really. It's called Leftovers.
Mm.
It's like about 3 seasons, really emotional. Like, do not watch it by yourself. It is depressing, but in a good way.
Oh, it's like The Punisher on Netflix.
Yeah, it's like the whole show is all about grief and loss. So the guy, like, 248,000 people just vanish.
Uh-huh.
And they never explain why, but you're seeing you follow, like, this family and how they're dealing with it.
Where was this show between Endgame and Infinity War? Jeez.
Oh, this I want to say it was like 2014, 2017 and it had a run.
Right.
At first I didn't like it because I thought it was going to be all religious, because, you know, that everyone knows that whole. So I'm like, I'm not going to like this. And then all of a sudden, like, I saw the cast and I had to give it a shot because, it was really good. That show, if you want a really satisfying ending, it is probably 3 seasons and everything gets answered, and not everything gets answered. They leave some things up in the air.
Well, and I think that was a big part of what went wrong with Lost, is maybe you just don't give us an answer. Maybe the answer in our head is going to be way cooler. Because there's okay, they just reissued Neon Genesis Evangelion on Netflix.
Okay.
About a week or two ago. And that is an anime show from back in like the late 80s, early 90s, something like that. Probably one of the pillars of anime.
Okay.
The last two episodes of that show are really, really kind of, I don't know how to put it, but like they blow your mind in that, not that they're good, but just like, this isn't the show I've been watching for the last 22-24 half hour episodes. Like it was actually probably one of my earliest memories of like the story in my head was way better than what you gave me, to the point that they ended up having to make movies a couple years later to actually officially wrap things up, because the actual last two episodes of Evangelion are just like, wait, what the F?
Right. At least you got some movies.
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of people, you know, really, really hopeful. Well, even going back to, like, I can tell that you're not as pleased with some of the current Star Trek or Star Wars media as we've gotten in the movie theaters as some people like myself are. But you get people where, like, they go to the movie and they see something they don't like and then they start an online petition.
I'm so sick of those online petitions. Like,
I think everybody, I've not talked to anybody who's like, this is important.
No, it's not important enough to even get my electronic signature. Like, honestly, right. Game of Thrones, 8 seasons over. You know what? Once George R. finally released the last two books, I'll read the books. And if I like the books better, then guess what? I'll have the books DVDs right on my shelf.
What happens if the books are bad?
Then we're all let down.
That's all you got for it.
That's all I got. I've never read the books because I'm not gonna invest. I think reading, there's way more of an investment of reading a freaking book that's like 500 pages and is way more intricate than the show was. The show was the dummy down version. Like I was talking to Al, I like Orville because I could get invested in Star Trek, but I like how Orville's so grounded and they're more blue collar, but they're still in that whole was. Probably 200 years smarter than you.
Okay.
So I always tell him, like, yeah, it's my dumb version of Star Trek.
Right.
So I enjoy it.
That's
it's
fair.
The dumbed down version.
No, because you hear, too, that, like, Robert Kirkman, the writer of The Walking Dead, like, he is, now that The Walking Dead is kind of overtaken, like, it's gone in a drastically different direction. Sometimes it starts, you're both going north, and then one of you just kind of veers off to the thing. Now the show is going in a westerly direction, and the comic is still going in a northerly direction. But he has taken stuff that he's seen them do on set from the show and going like, oh, that's a better idea than I had. And it has changed how the book is. Now, he said in a recent, actually, I haven't talked to Al about this yet, but in a very important character has died in the last, like, 2 months of The Walking Dead.
I know.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if you were familiar with it. I didn't want to spoil it.
It's fine.
You're not caught up, like Al Beck is not caught up, then you might want to skip the next, like, 5 minutes of conversation here. But they killed Rick. In the
like,
Walking
good, like not like he got flown in a helicopter. He's actually dead.
No, the cliffhanger in one issue is him getting shot in the chest, and they wrap it up within the first 3 pages of the next issue. And he takes 2 more bullets. The dude runs away, and Carl is the next one in the room, and Rick's a zombie, and he has to put him down.
But they killed Carl. Ah, okay. I'm like, that sounds already better than a show because Carl's still alive.
Right. But my point is that he says in the letter page at the end of the issue that, like, this was always where he was headed with Rick and his story or something like that. I don't know how much I believe that.
I mean, I always feel like Carl, like, I've read some of the comics. I've read up to where they got to Alexandria. But I always felt like Carl was going to take over the Rick position because he was going to be one that was, like, you know, early childhood, non-zombie. Now he's lived a significant amount of time in zombie world, so
right.
He's going to be what the population is going to be. So I feel like Rick dying is now Carl can become what they'll how old is Carl in the comics? I really haven't caught
up. I think he's like somewhere around like 18 or 16 or something like
that. Yeah, so that
but
means
he's already lost an eye. Like, he's effed up.
Yeah, he's probably, yeah.
Taking a bullet and like scratched the side of his head and took his eye or something like that. Like, he's got problems, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the comic is you know, like I was saying, is a drastically different animal kind of thing. And that's where I wonder, you're going to be reading those last two George R.R. Martin books, and that's got to be in the back of your head the whole time. Is like, is this really what you were going to do?
Yeah, exactly. I could see that. I could definitely see that.
You know, he probably had a completely different voice and face to a lot of those characters before they even got cast for a television show than he would have now when he's writing them.
But like from what I've picked up is that he just, I don't know if Kirkman's done this or if you could tell if like Kirkman took a while, but I feel like he got himself in a knot because from what I've read and from what people tell me that read the books is that some characters were so far off you couldn't tell how they were going to come back together. Like he set too much out there to where
right.
like, how the hell am I supposed to tie all this up? So he got himself in a nice little knot.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's figured it out.
Well, and I think going back to the Walking Dead comic, I think the future isn't so much Carl. It's probably Negan.
Yeah.
Because he's done a lot in that book in the last couple of years to try and soften Negan to the point where he's kind of like in the same way that Venom started as just a straight up villain, and then within a couple of years they're like, no, let's make him an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Let's make him somebody we can team up with the Punisher or Deadpool.
Now the Jeffrey Dean Morgan casting makes so much more sense.
Yeah, right.
Ever since I saw him in Watchmen, I can never like take that out. Or, like,
he's
so good
comedian.
As a comedian. Are you excited for that coming out? You got my HBO subscription
know.
For that.
I do. Yeah, it's funny. I use your HBO your HBO now to check out the movies on there. Like I watched Predators, and that was fun.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I know you gave me your login specifically with the instructions to watch Game of Thrones, and I watched
a
couple.
No, I'm not mad about that. I love the Alien Predator universe.
Sure.
And I love the first 25 minutes of that movie, and then it just...
Oh, it's not great.
No, Shane Black, man. He, you know, fool me once with Iron Man, and then fool me... Like, then he made... Like, he's good at making his own movies.
It's not great, but it is fun.
I know. Like I said, the first 25 minutes is great, but... any other shows that you've watched? That
you know what? The me and Al have been talking up this show because we love the comic. The Boys is coming to Amazon in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait.
The end of July. And they just put like a Red Band trailer up on Amazon Prime,
cool.
whatever like that. And it's fantastic. In the same way that, watching like the first couple of, trailers for like Preacher were fantastic. And that like, I'm watching these characters come to life. Like,
yeah.
It feels like the casting is perfect. I'm not seeing exact scenes from the book, but I'm seeing stuff that I'm like, that references scenes from the book. And I'm like, oh man, oh, this is going to be so, I love Carl Urban anyways.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the lead in this as Billy Butcher. And it's going to be, I can't wait to do it. And speaking of Amazon Prime, I was telling Al last week, the second season of The Tick is on there right now.
Yeah.
I watched the first season and really, really enjoyed it.
Are you sad they canceled it then?
A little bit, but at the same time, I didn't. Like, one of the things I love about it is that the episodes are, like, half-hour episodes. They're, like, 22 to 28-minute episodes.
Right.
And it gets a lot done in 22 to 28 minutes of every episode. I ended up binging half of season two already without even realizing it because I had it on while I was working on something on my computer. And every time an episode would end, I'd be like, oh, that's it? And then I'd remember, oh, yeah, they're kind of short episodes. So, like, 2 hours later, I've watched half the season. Which is fantastic, but it's got the same sense of humor that I expect from The Tick and all the previous iterations of it. But it also has this interesting, you can see where it has the DNA of what superhero media is now.
Right. I after Game of Thrones, I fell into The Strain on FX.
I watched the first season of The Strain and really enjoyed it, but after when they hit somewhere in the middle of season two, I just kind of dropped off.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, it's been a chore to get through the last season so far. But yeah, pretty much once he lost his big ogre, like gigantic body, the master got really like, I'm like, okay, well, he's not a giant anymore, so.
Sure.
But I think it,
it's a cool show, though.
Oh, yeah, and I can tell how Del Toro took his, I don't know if Strain came out, because it was a graphic novel before, right?
It was a comic, yeah, it was a comic before.
I wonder if it came out before Blade 2 or after, because.
Oh, way after.
Yeah, okay, because I'm going to say Blade 2's vampires are very similar to what the Strain are, and that's
for
why
sure.
I like it. I like how they don't make them like, that one TV show I can't, that's not on Hulu yet, and I keep, Shadows in the Dark. Or What We Do in the Shadows.
Have you not watched that?
I've seen clips because I've been craving it, and it's not on Hulu yet.
That is my favorite TV show of 2019.
Oh, I saw the scene with like where he sets the he's like, oh, spooky, and he just sets the decorations
on
fire. And I'm like,
oh no, it's hilarious. The movie is fantastic as well, and I know you can find that on a streaming service because it was originally a movie. And that's Taika Waititi of Thor Ragnarok. As well as Jermaine Clement of the Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, no, I highly recommend it because it takes the vampires, it takes a lot of the mythos of like vampires and werewolves and all this stuff, and just kind of like turns left and is hilarious. There are so many times during that season. Every episode has at least one thing that makes me laugh out loud.
Oh, really?
Like literally make me go ha!
That's good
about it.
See, I need good comedies because there's no good comedies right now. It's hard to find comedy shows now to binge, I've noticed. The sitcoms, yeah. Without it being a sitcom, it's hard to find.
Well, and that's weird too. Like, I don't want, we're going a little long here. Yeah. I don't want to get fully into it, I guess, but you see it in almost every entertainment medium, whether it's comic books or movies or television shows, something like that. Or video games, how there's this window of opportunity where, like, especially in movies, you see where it's like, if you don't make back what you put into this within your first 2 weeks, it's a failure.
Right.
And you see that in every medium, but it's got to be especially difficult on television now in that, like, critically, you can be a fantastic show years after you were financially a disaster. Because people binge watch you over and over again, and people think it's, you know, your
show
was
fantastic. Well, that's how
you find
out about shows like Firefly that become Serenity, the movie.
Right.
Because that show had such a massive following after it got canceled.
And that was well before streaming.
Yeah, exactly.
That was strictly based on DVD sales.
Which is fantastic. But yeah, it's very hard right now. With Netflix finally canceling the last of Defenders, I won't watch Jessica Jones, but...
I'm interested to see the third Jessica Jones because of some of the choices they made with characters to put in the show for the last season. I'm like, wow, that's a really strange Marvel character to interact with Jessica. I want to see that.
Before I let you go, I don't know. I don't think we've talked about it. Did you like Punisher season 2? Or
I didn't get through all of it yet.
I showed my roommate because he didn't. He's like, I don't know about Punisher, so I skipped season 2 because I'm like. Just watch the first episode of season 2, and you'll totally understand it. And
right.
I thought it was really well done.
I like the first season a lot, and I like what I saw the second season. So
I don't think they're going to let him go. I don't think any of them, like, listening back to old podcasts, I think all of them will come back.
I think it's going to be a lot like the CW universe. I think that there's definitely a spot for all those characters and those actors and actresses playing those characters. I don't think it's going to be on the big screen, though.
No, but there's multiverse, so let's embrace it, as Mysterio says.
Fair enough. All right, Mike, thanks for coming in for some Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh.
What?
This is Nerd Radio.
What?
Wow.
What?
All right, we're back with some more Nerd Radio here on the podcast page, WRAF.com, as well as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. My name is Chuck Bean, joined by James and Kyle.
Thank you.
We're hanging out talking about some stuff. We talked now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about E3, talked about a whole bunch of games that were released at E3, but a game that we did not talk about because there's so much stuff. Released at E3, and everyone's going to latch onto something different. It was like, oh, I can't wait for that. So talking to you, Kyle, before you came in this particular week, you were saying there was this game called, is it The Outer Worlds?
It's called The Outer Worlds, yeah.
Yeah, that you were super pumped about, and I don't think we discussed it when we, the week of E3. So tell our listeners at home and myself about this game.
So, Fallout New Vegas fans, you don't exactly get a Fallout New Vegas, but you get one in space, and it's called The Outer Worlds. It's really kind of cool. It's made from, obviously, Obsidian Entertainment. And it looks so cool. Like, nostalgia here for me, just because I loved the first Bioshock. And I loved the Fallout games as well. I've kind of fallen out with Fallout a little bit, but that's because...
Haven't we all?
Right.
Even a Battle Royale mode's not going to bring me back in.
Nope. But as far as Bioshock and New Vegas, those were both monumental games that have stuck in my head for many years.
Sure.
And Outer Worlds is kind of that. It's their new, it's up and coming. I think it comes out October.
You're saying the fall of this year, I believe.
The fall of this year, so around October. And it just looks really cool. It's a narrative-driven first-person shooter, but there's obviously going to be lots of RPG elements. And
so it's made by the Fallout guys?
Yeah, from Fallout New Vegas.
So it's more than likely going to play a lot like Fallout. It's going to be first-person, but you're going to be picking up a lot of stuff, and it's going to possibly be open world.
You'll be the intergalactic over-encumbered man.
Yeah,
right. They actually said that it's... they've got their own version of the VAT system, if you remember that from Fallout. And
right.
You can choose to really kind of, you can play the hero, the villain, or the psychopath. So you can really mold who you become.
What is the difference between the villain and the psychopath?
I don't know the difference.
I think the psychopath is the villain.
I think the villain usually has a goal, where a psychopath,
is just a villain, but on steroids. Like, right. He's chopping up body parts and leaving them across the galaxy.
The villain without a plan. Yeah. Essentially.
Right. And they, if you want to check the game out, obviously you can't play it until then, but there is a huge gameplay reveal on YouTube. If you just look up The Outer Worlds, it's their E3 live demonstration, now, which was super cool.
You guys are talking about this is a space-based game, so are you going to go be able to go from planet to planet?
The way I understood it, and hopefully I'm not overstepping what I should be saying, but from what I've seen, I think you're on a planet in outer space.
Okay.
And instead of like a post-apocalyptic world, you're dealing with like a developing colony.
Like an alien world.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you have like alien monsters and things like that you're going to have to fight. And I think the main storyline, the plot revolves around like how they harvest food.
Okay.
And some dirty business that's going on with the food, because they actually grow the food that you eat. They do something to grow like this weird cattle type thing that you eat.
So it's a little bit like, you know, a colony of humans have moved to this alien planet and are trying to develop a new colony. And
that's the gist I got from it.
I think it's kind of reminiscent of also the game you guys talked about a couple weeks ago, which is Cyberpunk 2077, and that.
Right.
In both of these games, especially in The Outer Worlds, because it's a developing world, you have to deal with a world that's ran by the corporations, not so much you, the person, or a government body. So you're really going to be going around making a name for yourself, good or bad.
Right.
And really kind of relying on these companies. And that's something that's really kind of unique to me. For me, what I like about this game is the look. Just how they took kind of that New Vegas vibe with the kind of like multi-corporation feel that you see when you're in BioShock down in Rapture.
That's and what I was going to ask, because you mentioned BioShock a couple of times. I was wondering what the connection was that you're seeing between this game and BioShock.
Just like the different, like, I can't even remember, like, Ferdinand something, or Frederick Fontaine's Fantastical, like, just kind of like the showy...
Retro, you talk about like retro type,
retro feel, style feel.
So you see things like retro, like a retro toaster, but you're in the future.
Okay,
yeah, stuff like that. It just reminds me.
Example. I don't know why I said toaster. All the things, I'm like, you see a retro toaster.
Look, in the future, they're gonna need toast.
Yeah, so we're gonna toast up some space toast.
So, but that's what it reminds me of, and I'm super excited. Like, they had a little reveal, I think last year at E3, and I just loved it. It was kind of the scientist guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're doing great here, and something's like trying to get out of cage, and you, the player, like, what the hell is going on?
Sure.
But, and I just thought it looked cool, and I'm excited. I'm also excited for Cyberpunk, but
I wanted
a little
to get
more
into
excited
that.
For this one.
I wanted to get into that, too, because the big headline about Cyberpunk 2077 is Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
But that overshadows the fact that, like, it is a game. It looks very Fallout-like, from what I understand.
Cyberpunk?
Yeah.
So it takes place, obviously, in 2077, and it's kind of like the same thing. Like, so you as a person can go out and get modifications for your body, and there's like a meter, I guess, that you'll have, like, in the game, where if you have too many modifications, you will go nuts.
Right.
And then it's kind of like, have any of you guys seen Repo, the Genetic Opera?
Oh, yeah.
So, kind of like that. They'll send people out to kill you in the game if pay up for your organs.
Is that the one with Jude Law?
I think he was.
And Forrest Whitaker? Where they come and they steal your body parts back?
No, I think that's...
Am I thinking of a totally different movie?
No, you're not.
Okay.
There's something
that movie was just called Repo Man.
Okay.
Repo Man, yeah.
Right, but it's a similar plot.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
That, like, hey, you're not paying for your bionic eyes, so we're going to have to come and repossess them.
Okay. But you play part of a criminal underbelly, and you're just part of this city culture, and it just looks really, really cool. And you can, they're really, CD Projekt Red is really banking on, you can be whoever you want in this game, regardless of whatever, and that's really kind
of
cool.
Yeah, because isn't this the game that some of the gameplay footage was of the grandma beating somebody up?
No, that was, I think, what is it? It's something Legion. Watch Dogs Legion.
Okay, that was the Watch Dogs game.
That
my
was
mistake.
Making me laugh.
That was
that
funny.
That was really cool. But no, you're, it's, this is a first-person RPG, more or less, and you can just get cybernetic modifications, all sorts of weapons, you can craft things. It's just super kind of cool, and to have it in kind of like a Blade Runner type setting,
yeah,
to me is really, really sweet.
If you could get a real life right now cybernetic modification in your body, what would you do, Kyle?
And probably get an arm with a blade in it or something. I don't know.
Arm blade, okay.
Arm blade, that's all right.
It's a typical one, or like.
See, I would want something practical, like maybe some new knees.
Yeah, I was thinking, do I go health wise because my back is a disaster. So
yeah,
do I get that fixed, or do I get like the ability to fly? You put jet boosters in my feet or something, you know? Maybe blast off. I'm also curious. So when you play these games, Kyle, because you strike me, I have a thought as to how you'd play through them. Do you play as like good or evil? Do you try to play neutral?
It depends. So like if we're talking like, let's say Mass Effect, where you can be either a Paragon or
the Renegade stuff.
Or the Renegade.
Right. You can make the good decisions or the bad decisions.
My male character was always like the new, it was kind of like me, like always for the good or whatever is right. And then usually my female character is always kind of like, she's like, well, she's the master of own universe and she doesn't feel like playing kiss ass,
right,
more or less. And, she just goes around doing whatever. So,
okay,
so she's more renegade-y.
So when it comes to games where you can make a decision between good and evil, you tend to play them twice.
I tend to play them twice, yes.
On your first playthrough.
Always good guy.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it, Kyle. You're too good of a guy to play as a bad guy. I knew you were going to be the good guy. You got me off guard a little bit when you're like, if I'm playing as the female, she's going to be a badass villain. And I was like, wow, didn't see that coming. But then once you ask, I'm glad you asked when you play it through the first time.
Well, yeah, because BioWare games typically have that kind of decision. And
yeah.
A lot of games nowadays, like Fallout and everything, have that kind of decision. I'm real curious because I don't think we've had this discussion before, James. When you first play through a game where you can choose to make good decisions or bad decisions,
as neutral as possible.
Really?
Okay, honestly, I played the game as if it's really me making these decisions.
Sure.
And I'm like, what would I really do? So would I blow up Megaton? Let's go back to Fallout 3.
Right.
Would I blow up Megaton and have a sweet, sweet Tenpenny Tower? Or would I let the citizens of Megaton survive? I'm sorry. Click, click. Bye-bye, Megaton. Hello, Tenpenny Tower. I am now the owner of the fabulous suite.
But then later on in the game, you'll make decisions specifically to try and balance that out?
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Be like, well, I was really bad. I killed a lot of people in Megaton. So guess what, old people who need the water? I will let you live. Enjoy the clean water here in the future.
Because I think me and Kyle play these games very similarly in that the first time through, I try and make the decision based on like what would I decide?
Yeah.
What would I want to think? I always tend to be the good guy. By the end of that game.
I can see that, too.
Yeah, but then you know, something like Mass Effect that I had a real good time with. All right, let's play through and just, like, let's be a total jerk.
Be as evil as I possibly can.
Yep.
So, like, when I was playing through Fallout 3, like, my roommate would always make fun of me because I'm like, he's like, why would you make that choice? I'm like, because that's what I would do in my own heart.
Yeah.
I would choose this. So he started playing, but he just killed everybody.
Right.
And I'm just like, how are you even? He's like, he couldn't go anywhere without people coming to attack him. Like, anywhere he'd go, he's on everybody's crap list. You know? I was like, how can he? The game's not fun. Every time you go somewhere, everybody wants to kill you.
It's funny that, you know, we have these games that, like, the game changes specifically based on the decisions you make like that. But even going back to, like, the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I don't want to say that's the grandfather of this type of gameplay, but it was always almost like a psychological profile.
Yeah, it's
of
like almost the first time they give you the keys. Like,
yeah.
Here's the keys to your moral automobile. Let's see what you do.
Play it how you want to play it. And then, like, anybody, you know, could at the end of a playthrough stop and look at them and be like, I'm kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that my attitude for that might change.
Yeah.
Come time to play some Cyberpunk, because I definitely feel like,
dude, you want to be
underground.
Just kind of
want to be a jerk.
Yeah, you want to be the underground drug lord or whatever, man.
Right.
You want to be that guy, the underground, like, badass.
I want to be whoever gets to hang out with Keanu Reeves the most.
Right.
That's me.
Build yourself a phone booth and make it time travel.
If I get, yeah, there we go. That's what we need. We need another Bill and Ted game. I love the Bill and Ted game on the old Nintendo.
Oh my God, you actually understood that game?
I did.
I had no idea what I was doing. Every time we play it, there's like pudding cups, right?
Yep.
There's pudding cups you collect and
stuff?
Yeah,
no, you got pudding cups, you got firecrackers, you got cassette tapes. And that was to stop people from running into you and taking away your coins. People would run after you and try and like send you to jail, if you threw a pudding cup, they would go after the cup instead of you.
Oh.
If somebody was coming after you.
Because we would play that. My buddy had it. We would play it. And we're like, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We had no clue what we were doing. We popped it in. We like, let's see if we can figure it out today. Maybe since the last 3 months, our brains have grown. We've got some intelligence. So we can now figure this out. Could never figure it out.
I put
that game up on the same shelf as Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I'm trying to think what other game.
There's like an old Dragon Warrior game, and I'm like, I don't know what we're doing here.
There was, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of months ago about the Friday the 13th game on the
we were talking about that too.
Okay, so we did talk about that, because I found an article where like some dude was like, I never understood this game, so I'm going to play it now, and then, you know, look up on game FAQs like how this game works, and
the
game is surprisingly deep.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't you have told me how this game works when I got that little 16-page booklet?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to go back and see like some of these games, and you're like, I don't understand how this works. And now every time you buy a game, there's a tutorial that's way too in-depth. Like,
right,
it teaches you how to tie your shoes. I don't need to tie my shoes. How do I find a gun and shoot somebody, you know? Just teach me the basics. I don't need to know everything.
I find that with the Nintendo Switch, sometimes if they re-release like an old PC game, like for instance, I just rebought Undertale because it comes with a little booklet. Like, because games don't come with like booklets anymore.
No, they don't.
They just give you a little piece of paper that's like, go to this website and you can download the book. Or
yeah,
you can
most
read
games
the book.
You don't even need a disc.
Yeah, well, yeah. Nowadays you can just download the games.
Yep.
That makes them cheaper, but at the same time, I still want that physical copy.
Thank
because,
you. Yeah, high five for that
I,
one. Thank
yes.
you.
Kyle's on your side.
Yeah.
The only reason I am like that is because like my sister's fiance is always like, well, you know, I have all these games and they're always on sale. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but if I don't want that game later, I can go to GameStop or wherever I can sell it.
That's true.
To maybe get a different game. And he's like, no, I never do that. And then he came to me one day, he's like, you know, I wish I could like sell like 5 of my games. I'm like, that's why I buy them physically. Even if it's more expensive, it's better in the long run, because I'm like, oh, wow, I want this super cool collector's edition of this game I really want. Trade all that stuff in that I know I'm not going to play anymore.
Right.
Boom, extra cash in my pocket.
A whole 16 cents.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, yeah. This game came out last week.
Stores.
$1. What?
We'll give you $3 for that, but we're going to resell it for $74. I'm like, whoa. That's a hell of a markup.
Yeah, and then they wonder why they're not doing well the last couple of years.
Because
we all figured it out. You know,
give
us anything for our
game. Wealth around.
Well, the other thing about having a physical copy of a game is you finish a game, you're like, that was really fun, and you're telling somebody about it, he's like, I'm just going to let you borrow it, man.
Yeah.
Check this out. I can't let you borrow a game I have on Steam.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just
you
want to
come over?
Computer.
No, I don't really come over and play your game. Sorry.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah,
so you have a Gears of War shirt on. And huh? I know they've. I noticed you have a Gears of War shirt on.
I cannot wait for Gears 5.
That's what I was going to ask.
It is.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm really. Now we're getting into the whole can of worms that just opened.
All right. Okay, maybe we won't have time for all that. We'll have to save that for another day.
I'm excited for Gears 5, mainly because they really introduced some interesting facts in Gears 4 about the Locust from the previous set of games when the games first came out.
Those are the bad guys, right?
Yeah, the Locust Horde
was somehow hidden underground.
Yep. So one of the female characters, I can't remember her name.
She fly in the giant fly?
No.
Oh, okay.
she has this pendant from her aunt or grandmother, and she on the reverse side of it is the locust symbol. So I'm like, I think someone's related to Mira, Queen of the Locust Horde, which was kind of interesting. So I'd have to go through and replay those games. But
right.
We'll leave that conversation for another day, but I'm super excited for
the answer
this game.
Is he's very excited.
Very excited for Gears of War.
I think we got to give Kyle a new nickname.
So he's GK. He's Ginger Kyle.
I know he's Ginger Kyle, but I feel like we got to call him Kylezilla.
Kylezilla?
Kylezilla, man.
Sure.
That's my vote. Kylezilla. Right. After all the Godzilla talk and all this video game talk, you are Kylezilla.
I like it.
I like it, too.
Thanks for coming in, Kyle. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for having me.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Weekend.
Golden Radio.
Oh, no!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Which was in the...
You have to get that from the old platform. Yeah, clean that pleasure pad off. Yeah.
You will never make that mistake ever again. You will never find... That thing will be immaculate every
That's
time.
So funny.
You're going to blow harder it. On that thing, Al.
That's how it got there to begin with.
Is that the...
By blowing or stroking?
Well...
Is that a sequel? The Blowhard?
Sorry.
Blow harder?
Blow harder. I didn't mean, if you got water on your arm, I apologize.
Oh, I didn't.
That was
nope.
Faulty seal around that straw.
Didn't get.
By seal, I mean my lips.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.